log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on RIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program The Key here at IRIB English Radio. Thank you for joining us here today. Today, we're going to be looking at a question regarding the prayers that have been related in the books of prayers, such as the Mafatihul Jinan and other books of prayers. The question goes like this. We know that all of the surahs and chapters of the Holy Quran have begun with the name of God, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. But when we examine a lot of the prayers which have been related in the prayer books, such as the Mafatihul Jinan and these kind of prayers, we see that many of them, they don't begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So the question exactly is then, why is this so? Why don't they begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? The answer to this question is that according to the school of thought of the Ahlul Bayt, and according to the Shia school of thought, the Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, this verse, this is a part of every surah. And of course, there are some surahs which don't begin with Bismillah, and there's a reason for that. But nevertheless, most of the surahs, they begin with the Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and the Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is a part of that surah. It's a verse of that surah. And without that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the surah is incomplete. However, with respect to the prayers, which have been related in the books of prayers, in a lot of these prayers, the Bismillah is in fact a part of the prayer. It's been related as a part of the prayer. Such as the Dua Asharat, the Dua Yastashir, the Dua Mujir, and other duas which have been related in the books of prayers. These prayers begin with Bismillah. However, it's true that some of the prayers, they don't begin with Bismillah. Nevertheless, these prayers also, you know, they have the names of God within them. A lot of them begin with other names of God, not necessarily the Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. At the same time, we know that the verses, the hadith and the tradition which has been related with respect to beginning things in the name of God, this doesn't necessarily refer to actually reciting the Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It means not beginning something with the name of God. For example, the hadith which says "Kullu amrin dhi balin lam yabda." Every action, every important action that doesn't begin with the name of God, so this action will be rendered ineffective, or it will not reach fruition, it will not reach completion. If you pay attention to this tradition, it simply says that every valuable and important action, it should begin with the name of God, right? Usually we take this tradition to refer to the fact that if we want to start something important, we should say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. That is one of the instances or one of the ways that we can begin over an important action with the name of God. But it's not necessarily the only and sole way of beginning an important action with the name of God. You can begin it with one of the other names of God. You could say, for example, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. You could want to recite one of the other beautiful names of God. So just because these certain prayers don't begin with the actual formula of Bismillah Rahman Rahim doesn't necessarily mean that they contradict this tradition, which says that important tasks, they should begin with the name of God. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at the prayers and how they begin in the name of God. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussain Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
The Prophet. Man was created on the morning of the sixth day. The time of worship commenced. And Adam began the rituals for his Lord. He, and after him, his progeny, performed such rituals. Religions appeared one after another. All of them represented one God, one path, one origin, and one end to mankind. Every messenger who was appointed by God to convey his message informed the people of the advent of the last prophet of God. In this sense, Buddha and Krishna said the very same thing which Noah, Abraham, Moses, John, Zoroaster, and Jesus said. One told the name of the final prophet, and the other spoke of his origin. One forecast the signs of his homeland, while the other described the characteristics of his language. In one way or another, each prophet informed mankind of the joyous news of the advent of the final prophet, the last messenger of the heavens. In the very beginning of history, God sent Adam, his first prophet on earth, to propagate and show the heavenly path to the inhabitants of this world. Thousands of years have passed ever since, and some people continue to follow him by residing exclusively near the riverbanks of the world. Zoroastrianism is one of the most ancient religions of the world. These days, most of its followers are found in Iran, India, and some regions of Central Asia. They possess a heritage several thousand years old. Like the prophets before him, Zoroaster also informed his followers of the coming of divine prophets. The religious scripts of Zoroastrianism refer to these messengers as Sotians. There are three Sotians who were foretold to appear after the Zoroaster. Alternatively, three Sotians, three beneficent personalities, will come one after the other. Throughout history, the followers of Zoroaster have been waiting for their arrival. They have searched for them everywhere.
Attilu! What brings you here?
They are visitors from the east. They follow the star. The star of the prophecy.
The prophecy of the Messiah?
The Messiah.
So far, only three Zoroastrian sages have succeeded in seeing the first Sotient in Bethlehem. When the last prophet of God appeared in Hejaz, there were many Zoroastrians who saw the signs of the second Sotient in him. They joined him in large numbers and became his followers and helpers. However, there are still many Zoroastrians who are keenly waiting for the arrival of the third Sotient. They hope that this universal reformer will appear and make the world a utopia. In India, the land of many creeds, there are several mysterious religions spread out in the vast jungles and mountainous regions. Here, you find religions such as Hinduism, Jainism, Buddhism, and Sikhism. Though in some case, the followers of these religions have become deviated from the right path. The depth of meaning and spirituality that these religions reveal is indicative of man's inherent tendency to establish a close relationship with an infallible creator and worship him. Historical roots of Hinduism are spread over thousands of years. Mysterious ascetics with wonderful conducts live all over India, in colorful shrines and dark temples in legendary jungles. They make the unspeakable things of this mysterious land even more mysterious.
God is one only. Even in India, in the Hindu philosophy, God is always one. But his manifestation is many.
This historical religion has several holy books as guidelines for its followers. These books are full of strange and unsaid mysteries. Among the sacred books of Hindus are the Puranas. These ancient books contain the history of the universe, the genealogy of kings and heroes, and the foretelling of future events. In these books, we again witness indications of the coming of a spiritual teacher called Muhammad from a foreign land. To him is what Raja Bhuj respectfully says. I prostrate myself before you, O you, the pride of mankind, the inhabitant of Arabia. You have gathered a great power to eradicate Satan.
In one of the Puranas in India, Bhavishya Purana, it is also mentioned that Mahamud, Paigambar Muhammad, will be born in the Middle East, and he would cleanse the people of corruption and bad habits there, and you know, he will bring a new wave of devotion. This is mentioned thousands of years ago in the Hindu text, in a Purana. It's one verse is there, one quote is there, that such and such a person, a prediction was done about that.
He will appear in a sandy desert in the land of Arabia. He will be known as the pride of humanity, and his name is Muhammad. What could be the secret that has been also mentioned in the holy books of Hindus, and of which the Hindu monks have spoken? The history of Jainism goes back about 600 years before the appearance of Christ. According to Jainism, salvation can only be achieved through the practice of asceticism. The tenets of this faith dictate that God has 24 avatars on earth. The last one of them will be born in a peninsula, and the name of his father is Vishnu Bhagat, which is the equivalent of Abdullah. And the name of his mother is Somanib, which is the equivalent of Amina. He is said to be taught by Bhagwan in a cave. Sikhs, who wear a unique turban on their head, are followers of another religion in India. But are there any hints about the holy prophet of Islam and his religion in the scriptures of Sikhs? In addition to the promise made thousands of years ago by Eastern religions concerning the advent of a prophet called Muhammad in Arabia, Abrahamic religions also foretell the arrival of a great prophet on earth in the last age of humanity. Moses and Jesus endured many difficulties on the path of propagating their messages. They promised the people about the advent of a man from among the descendants of Abraham. The New Testament clearly promises the arrival of a prophet after Christ. An example of this can be seen in the Gospel of John. Shortly before the advent of Christ, Roman oppression was continuously increasing. More and more innocent people were crucified every day, and the poor were made even poorer through forced taxes. In such conditions, a man called John, from the shores of the Jordanian River, claimed prophecy. He kindled both doubt and hope in the hearts of the Jews of his time. Perhaps they wondered whether he was Messiah, the prophet foretold to end pain and tragedy. On the same day, Jewish leaders sent a group of Levites to John to investigate the matter.
Who are you?
John confessed. He did not deny. He answered,
I am not the Messiah.
Who are you then?
Are you Elijah?
No, I'm not.
Are you the prophet?
No.
Then tell us who you are.
We have to take an answer back to those
when
who sent us.
When Prophet John replied that he was not Messiah, Elijah, or the promised prophet, the delegates, who were considering the new prophet to be one of these three, asked him in wonder,
if you're not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet, why do you baptize?
I baptize with water. But among you stands the one you do not know. He is coming after me, but I'm not good enough, even to untie his sandals.
John's Gospel contains a marvelous secret within it. This secret, which reveals itself exclusively to those possessing wisdom and intellect, promises the advent of another prophet after Jesus. It speaks of a messenger for whom everyone is waiting. When Christ embarked upon his three-year-long mission, a great disagreement occurred among people.
And whoever believes in me should drink. As the scripture says, streams of life-giving water will pour out from his side. This man is really the prophet. The Messiah will not come from Galilee.
Many people said that he was the Messiah promised by the Bible. However, others did not agree to this and said that perhaps he was the foretold prophet. What we can understand from John's Gospel is that apart from Elijah, two other people must also come to mankind. One is the Messiah, and the other is, for the lack of a better title, the prophet. But where is the prophet, who according to John's Gospel must come, and has yet to come?
All the Christianity believe in the genuineness of Prophet Muhammad, believe that he was a prophet or not.
I do not know for all of Christianity. I have no doubt myself he is a prophet and spoke the word of God with great love and kindness and beauty.
Yes.
The prophet is a symbol. The prophet is a human being. Human being, not God. He's a human being that he had great faith, a maximum of the faith, and he was in contact with God when he was alive. And he passed the messages of God to the people.
Will Durant writes, according to the documents discovered on the shores of the Dead Sea, people were awaiting the foretold prophet, whose appearance, along with that of the Messiah, was promised. But who is this prophet, and from where does he originate? In order to answer this question, we will have to go back and investigate his characteristics, as found in the Old Testament. According to the Old Testament, Moses saved the children of Israel from the Egyptians' bondage and made them cross the sea. He guided them during the course of 40 years of wandering in the Sinai Desert, until they reached the banks of the Jordanian River. Nevertheless, the Israelites continued their lives as nomads. For this reason, Moses gathered them all and said, God told me, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all, that I shall command him, and it shall come to pass, that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. The Bible only recognizes the children of Ishmael as the brethren of the Israelites. Hence, the foretold prophet must have been raised among the brethren of the Israelites. He must have been given a book like that of Moses, and he must have come with a religious law like that of Moses. The question stands, to which prophet can all these qualities be attributed? Priest James Dow writes in the Collins Dictionary of the Bible, the only personality for whom the forecast of Torah can fit is Muhammad, because he is the only person who resembles Moses and has a book and a religious law. The prophets came one after the other, and guided humanity towards the truth. Every prophet promised his followers about the advent of the last messenger of God, Muhammad, about whom the Puranas had promised, the second sociant of the Zoroastrians, a prophet from Arabia, the last avatar riding on a horse, the prophet resembling Moses, and the descendant of the brethren of the Israelites, and the prophet mentioned in John's Gospel. Who is he? In which land was he raised? In which era did he render as true the promise of all the prophets before him, after centuries of denial and defiance by the unbelievers? Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, titled as Ahmad, the seal of all prophets, from the house of Ishmael, appeared in the land of the Arabs to guide mankind, so that man may not remain in the darkness of ignorance. And now, on the threshold of another millennium, man continues the path of his predecessors in the persecution of the propagators of the message of God, those who decapitated Prophet John, put the cross on the shoulders of Christ, and mounted the Crusades, are once again continuing with their blasphemous persecution of the last prophet of God. They fed their ancient grudge. They despised the sacred. And driven to despair, they set fire to the truth and tried desperately to injure the prophet.
There is no God but God, and Muhammad
is the messenger of God. There is no God but God, and Muhammad is the messenger of God.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir la'in ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. We want to look at justice from the perspective of the commander of the faithful, Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam. Now, Imam Ali alayhi salam is the greatest enigma of all time. His justice has baffled and mystified the scholars and intellectuals alike. The power of Imam Ali's personality has really stood the test of time and attracted and attracts our hearts and our souls until today. Even though centuries have passed, we can't help but admire and hear or worship him, for he is the core of perfection and the peak of virtues. His knowledge, his wisdom, his eloquence, his piety, bravery, justice, loyalty, humanity, empathy, honesty, truthfulness, and numerous other qualities are beyond compare. His virtues reached a new standard of greatness, and his wisdom filled saying became a guide until eternity for people of all faiths and beliefs, because they are relevant for everyone and for all times. His birth inside the Kaaba was peerless and a herald of his chosen status. As a child, Imam Ali alayhi salam, the commander of the faithful, he recognized justice and protected the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, who had come under direct attack with a threat to his life. In his youth, Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullahi alayhi, his bravery and a glorified legend, he continued his role as the protector, companion, commander-in-chief of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam in the battle of Badr, Uhud, Khandaq, Khaybar, Hunayn, and so on, until the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam took his last breath. Amir al-Mu'mineen was beside him, holding the banner of justice. Even after the Prophet's death, he remained by his side and performed the final rituals while others got involved in grabbing power and trying to dismantle that system of justice that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam brought forward, and Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi broke all his bones trying to save it. Imam Ali alayhi salam, the unwavering pillar of support to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi, a husband to his only daughter Fatimah al-Zahra alayhi salam, was left to complete the last rites by companions, and his direction expressed by the Prophet on several occasions, including the one on Ghadir Khum, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi publicly took his hand and announced him as a master to the believers after him. Before we continue talking about Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi, let us take a short break, then we continue.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. We are talking about the justice of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, or justice from his perspective. We want to look and learn about the man himself before his views. So Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi announced him to the world as his commander. He announced him as a master. He announced him as his brother. Words that echoes through history. Words that should be taken seriously. When Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi is the brother, chief and commander, the commander of the faithful, it means he is the embodiment of justice itself. It means he is justice itself. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam says, Al-Haqqu ma'a Ali wa Aliun ma'a al-Haqq, the truth is with Ali and Ali is with the truth, it means there's a oneness, not separate things. Ali is the Haqq. Ali is the walking truth, the walking justice. You want to see justice in human form, you look at the commander of the faithful, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi as-salam. Imam Ali alayhi as-salam, as a khalifa, as a ruler, and it is important to highlight that he was the only infallible that had the chance to lead a government. So as a khalifa, as a governor, as the successor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth, he lived
in a simple home, only ate what the poorest in his kingdom or in the country could afford, and displayed his justice, wisdom, valor in every single act. These are the traits of a just person. These are the trait and virtues of a man who embodied justice itself. When even Talha and Zubair, the two companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa ala, approached him for a position, he did not favor them over others because they acclaimed to be from Quraysh. They acclaimed to be closest companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa ala. Therefore, naturally, they wanted to seek position and power because of that nearness and that, you know, lineage. Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi, that made no difference to him. He said to them, last time I looked, you and me and everyone else was made from dust and mud, and we were the sons of Adam. So why should I favor you over others? A justice that does not exist anymore, where now we have governments, we have parliaments, and we have powers that run by families. If I'm in power, I bring my friends along, I bring my family along, and you see so many relatives all in power because one decides to bring the rest in. Such system that is corrupted, that brings misery to this world, did not exist in Amir al-Mu'mineen's life, nor did not exist in his khilafah. So if we want to look at justice, and if we want to understand what justice is, then we cannot pass the commander of the faithful, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi as-salam. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
صل يا ربي على طه الأمين رحمة أرسلته للعالمين وعلى آل النبي أجمعين فبهم نرجوك أحسن ختمنا.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints. You're listening to I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sayyid Murtaza and Sayyid Mohsen. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Sayyid Murtaza, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Thank you very much for inviting.
Thank you very much again for accepting my invitation to the program Viewpoints. Today we want to talk about the personality of Jesus Christ, or Isa ibn Maryam, Hazrat Masih. Also, these are the titles that are used for Prophet of Allah, and also Lady Mary or Hazrat Maryam, as featured in the religion of Islam and the Quran, and the respect that Islam had for these two very dear personalities. Samir Salih, let's start with you, brother. How the religion of Islam looked at the very personality of Hazrat Masih.
Thank you very much. You know, Jesus, an English name,
yes,
and Mary, both are very special characters, and they have a special status, actually, in the religion of Islam, because these two characters have been compared to many other, you know, characters around the world, and their names have been many times mentioned and brought in the Book of Islam, Quran. So when Islam is bringing these two names and is quoting on them and is talking about their lifestyles and is providing the whole humanity some information how these people were faithful to God, so it shows that the religion of Islam is not only against Jesus and Mary, but also is supporting them and is asking people to respect them highly.
Yes.
So this is a picture that Islam draws of these two great personalities. Jesus is the prophet to God.
Yes.
And God revealed even a book, Gospel, to Jesus.
Yes.
So it shows that Jesus is one of the descendants of Abraham.
Yes.
So it shows that the prophet of Islam and Jesus both have their, you know, backgrounds the same.
Yes.
So it shows that Islam has compared Jesus and Mary with many other personalities, and
right,
the great respect has been given to them.
That's right. But Sayyid Mohsen, the look that even some of the Christian communities has at their own prophets and their books is very much different from what the religion of Islam has. And this makes a question that who knows better its religion? You know, the followers of the same religion or the followers of the religion that comes, you know, so many years after that? What's your answer to that?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, when we talk about the Islam, Islam is not a separate religion from what Jesus Christ brought for the people of that time. We should bear in mind that the Judaism or Christianity, this word Christianity or Judaism,
yes,
this is a word which was made by people themselves, and not this name wasn't put by the prophets over the people. For example, Jesus did not said like whoever will follow me or whoever I'm preaching, they are Christians.
Okay.
This deviation and the, yes, names were put by the people themselves.
Yes.
Whereas in the Quran, Allah says Bani Israel.
Okay.
Okay. There's no Judaism. And obviously, when we see this, like the people who later put a specific name for themselves because they're attaching themselves to someone. So they got the name of Christianity and the Judaism. When we talk about the Islam, we have many verses in the Quran, and there are many proofs in the Quran, the verses that say like all the prophets who came, they all brought one thing, and that was Islam itself. Means submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Islam in its literal meaning, submitting. And Muslim also means, or the Muslim, when we say Muslim, it means the one who submits.
Yes.
So all the prophets, they asked their people to submit to one God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
And that was the main theme of every single prophet. So when we say like, do we know more? Does Islam knows more, or the people who are following? We should also look at the history that the gospel which brother has referred to, when it was written. It was written later, like after like 400 years,
okay,
of Jesus. Like,
you mean this is not the same text that was revealed?
No, it wasn't the same text which was said by the Jesus. It,
okay,
was written 400 years after that.
Okay.
And the Old Testament that we have, it was written 1,000 years after the Moses.
Okay.
So we need to look at the historical aspect as well. Whereas the Quran, when we're talking about the Quran itself, it was written at the time of the prophet, and he dictated the verses which he used to reveal.
Okay.
So I don't think this is a right question, like if we want to say, or it is not right to say,
okay,
like the Muslims do not know about the Jesus because they are not the follower. We are the hard follower of Jesus and Moses,
yes,
and Abraham as well, because,
yes,
they are our prophets. And to become a Muslim must believe in 124,000 prophets,
okay,
from which there is a Jesus and there is Moses. And in the Quran, we can,
yes,
see many times Allah has said Isa ibn Maryam. He refers,
yes,
to the Jesus, son of Mary.
That's right.
And also to the prophet Abraham and the Moses. And we know that the Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, they all are the Abrahamic religions. So when the main person who's like, we,
okay,
call ourselves Abrahamic So we all referred back to Ibrahim alayhi salam.
And the monotheistic wonder religions, yes, all across the world. But say, Murza, you know, the question is now, we must have enough knowledge about the previous religions too. You know, as a Muslim, and this is when maybe some of the Muslims around the world does not have enough knowledge about their own religions and the details around. And I think this gives us a kind of authenticity about how the religions were revealed to the prophets of Allah during the history, and how the religion of Islam could complete the previous versions of the religions, isn't so?
You know, historically talking, everyone needs actually to learn a lesson from history. And when it comes to speaking about religions and the background of religions, and the religions that were actually before and after one another. So let's look at Jesus Christ and his mother Mary in the Book of Islam. And we know that the Book of Islam, Quran specifically, has put a great emphasis on Jesus' presence in society and Mary in society as well. So, you know, these two acted strongly like messengers, and they actually received messages from God, and then it was disseminated and distributed among people. So the same two roles have been, you know, followed and have been taken by Jesus Christ and his mother. So it shows a footstep to all of us that we need to follow in their footsteps,
yes,
like we Muslims must follow in footsteps of our prophets and all our infallible imams.
That's right.
So it shows to all of us that what has been preached, it must be practiced.
That's right.
So unfortunately, we don't have this. In Christianity, unfortunately, we have a lot of rules that most of them have been overlooked by Christians.
Yes.
And in Judaism, we have the same thing, because I had my personal studies related to these factors.
Okay.
We have commonalities, we have similarities between religions, but unfortunately, those rules, the very effective rules, have been overlooked by the followers. And it shows that Islam as a religion has a better understanding, has a better description of the role of Jesus
right.
Christ
okay.
and his mother.
Right.
So it shows that people need to learn a very good lesson from
That's
the
right.
history
right.
and look at the picture how Islam
okay.
actually created
right.
of Jesus Christ and his mother.
That's right. But Sayyid Mohsen, what was the main reason of revealing such ayahs to the Prophet of Islam in Arab Peninsula about the previous prophets, especially Prophet Masih, you know, Isa ibn Maryam, Jesus Christ, and Lady Mary? This is really a great question to be asked, you know, that what was the main reason? I mean, what is the use? For example, the ignorant Arabs, the Jahiliyyah Arab on that time, being familiar with the previous prophets, was there any intention behind that?
Well, first of all, let me just make clear that when we talk about the Arabs, the way you said jahil or ignorant.
Sorry, no, at the time of jahiliya, sorry.
Even when we use the word jahiliya, yes, that does not mean they were ignorant. You know, they had the best poets, and when they used to hear a poem from someone, they used to memorize it at the spot.
Okay.
So they were intelligent at that time. The jahalat is something else. The jahalat we refer because they were worshipping idols.
Okay.
They were not worshipping the God and the religions, the Abrahamic religions. That's why, you know, they were in the jahala, in the darkness. This jahala means darkness, not the ignorance.
Okay.
That's the first thing.
Okay.
The second thing is, when we look at the prophets, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent 124,000 prophets. But we don't see their names in the Quran. Not all of them.
Yes.
The answer is, if the Quran was the book of history, then you would find all the names with their date of birth, I don't know, date of demise, and the place where they were. Whereas the Quran is the book of guidance. It has revealed to give guidance and give lesson to the people, to take people towards the right path. Therefore, those prophets who are mentioned in the Quran, number one, they are Ulul Azm. Like all the Ulul Azm, like the, you can say, the supreme prophets. There are six of them. But we have like Prophet Nuh, Prophet Abraham, Prophet Musa, Prophet Jesus, Prophet Muhammad, and Prophet Adam alayhi salam, the first prophet. So these prophets, six prophets, they're Ulul Azm basically. Or according to some, they don't count Prophet Adam alayhi salam, then we have
five plus
Prophet Adam.
Five Adam is right too.
All these prophets are mentioned.
Yes.
Number one. Number two, the rest of the prophets, like Prophet Khizr and other prophets, why they're discussed in the Quran? Because this book is book of guidance. So Allah needs to give guidance. Therefore, these prophets who are mentioned, all of them, they have all those characters which the rest of the prophets from 124,000 prophets had. And it was, they have it collectively in themselves. And all the characters which all the prophets from Adam alayhi salam till Jesus had, all of them were in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we have these narrations and these things. So why the Jesus has been discussed in the Quran is because, number one, the followers of that religion, Christianity, are still in the world. They were at that time, at the time of the Prophet. Similarly, the story of the Musa alayhi salam of Bani Israel, it is also mentioned. The others as well.
That's right.
The polytheists, the stories of the polytheists are also mentioned, okay, like Mushrikeen, the idol, yes, worshippers, and all those. So basically, it's because we have many people who are still the followers of such prophets, yes, those prophets, number one. Number two, because these prophets, the characteristics of these prophets, this were in a way that they have become a role model, not for the people of their time, but for the people even, yes, after them. And because there's many discussions, especially in the Christianity, they believe that the Jesus is Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they believe.
Trinity.
Yeah, Trinity. Yes. They believe that Jesus is Son of God. On the other hand, in the Quran, we have seen, like in the history as well, that Mubahila has happened between the Muslims and the Christians.
Christians, that's right.
The main base was that there were some Christians who came from Najran to Medina to see what this prophet, new prophet, is saying. And when they came there, they said to the prophet that we believe in Jesus, Son of God. And the Prophet Muhammad said, I believe in Jesus, Prophet of God.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, you're basically reducing the status of the Jesus,
yes,
from being son to the prophet, and you made him a servant of God. He's not the servant, he is the Son of God.
Okay.
And then Prophet argued, our Prophet said, what do you believe? What is your belief about the Adam alayhi salam? They said he was the servant of God. Then the Prophet said, Adam neither had the father nor mother. So he should enjoy that status of being the Son of God, whereas Jesus had the mother at least. So these were the arguments. So, yes, why Jesus is there? Because even in the Quran we have the verse that Jesus has said, oh Allah, I never said them that I'm your son. I'm your prophet and you need to judge between us on the day of judgment.
Okay.
So the other reason, the second reason is because of the many followers of such religions. Therefore, it is necessary to talk about such prophets so that these people can come back to the right path.
That's right.
And the deviation which they had from the right religion,
yes,
they should basically refer back. And that's why the Quran is talking about the Jesus alayhi salam, the Virgin Mary, the role of Gabriel as, yes, an angel of, yes, revelation, and the other prophets as well.
That's all right. And really, there must be a lesson in all these life accounts of the previous prophets in the Holy Quran for not only the Muslims, but also, you know, the people of other generations who want to be familiar with their own, historical account of the life of the prophets and the great personalities like Lady Mary. And, you know, Lady Mary, you know, has really a special status. She's believed by the Muslims to be among the outstanding role models for the ladies all around the world. Isn't it, Sayyid Mirza?
Of course, yes. Role models and these great characters must have something to teach us. And if we can't find a lesson to learn from them, I don't think we can call them role models.
Yes.
And the Book of Islam is full of stories about these great characters. Jesus Christ himself and his mother, Lady Mary, both of these two names have been mentioned many times. Specifically, Lady Mary, I think her name has been mentioned over 34, 35 times. And it shows her great status in the Book of Islam. So these two characters, not only for Christians, but also for all humanity, have something to deliver. So in today's world, I think the followers of Islam and the followers of all religions must look into the private, social, and personal lifestyles of these two characters, because certainly we will find a lot of merits and advantages that we can pick up and use them in our own life. So I don't think it is right and correct to say that Muslims, for example, should not celebrate the birthday of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
So it doesn't show that Muslims are following the Christianity. It
yes.
shows that they show their great respect
right.
To the birth of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
So today is the Jesus' birthday. So
yeah, December
all
25th,
Muslims,
that's right.
So all Muslims must respect.
Yes.
And if they celebrate, I don't think it's wrong.
Yes.
It's not because of the Christianity. It's
yes.
because of the Holy Prophet,
yes.
that his name has been directly
yes.
mentioned many times in the Book of Islam.
That's
so
right.
there is a lesson for us.
Yes.
That we have to follow all these religions,
yes.
all these prophets, and respect them as much as we can.
As we could see in the Islamic Republic of Iran, there are so many Christians living, and on these days, from December 25th to January 1st, they are celebrating the celebration in their own churches, in Tehran, you know, in Yazd, in Shiraz, and in different places in Isfahan, you know, all around the Islamic Republic of Iran. Shows how much the also religious minorities like Christianity are respected in an Islamic land, the Shia Islamic land like Iran. Thank you, my Sayyid Mursa and Sayyid Mohsen, for your presence in the program. And again, congratulations on the birthday anniversary of Isa ibn Maryam, Prophet Jesus Christ, and also congratulations to all our Christian brothers and sisters all around the world. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to us. This was Viewpoints. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/Shia and Call of Islam page. Also, YouTube channel and Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Isa ibn Maryam alayhim as-salam bashara atba'ahu binabiyin ya'ti min ba'dih ismuhu Ahmad. وأحمد هو محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
عيسى نبي الله قال مبشرا. بعدي سيأتي أحمد ومحمد.
يا معشرا وصفوا المحمد بالقبيح قد كان أولى أن تقولوا كالمسيح من كان يتبع المسيح يقول ما قد قاله عيسى بأحمد من بني.
Aperture Muhammad Iqbal, also famously known as Allama Iqbal, was a famous poet, philosopher, lawyer, and politician. Muhammad Iqbal is called the spiritual father of Pakistan, as he is believed to be the inspiration behind the historical Pakistan movement, in which he was one of the few leaders who first conceived the idea of Pakistan as a different nation for the Muslims. Iqbal is Pakistan's national poet, and his birthday is a public holiday in Pakistan. Muhammad Iqbal, also known as Iqbal Lahuri, is considered one of the most important figures in Urdu literature, with literary work in both the Urdu and Persian languages. Although Urdu poetry draws heavily on Persian idiom and imagery, Iqbal found Persian more suited to his thought and temperament, and a better means of communication to a wider audience in the Indian subcontinent as well as other countries of the Muslim world. At the end, more than half and nearly two-thirds of Iqbal's poetry was in Persian language. Stay with us as this week's program looks into this extraordinary man's life and legacy.
The fragrance of the companion shall take a nation to the companion.
sometimes